You know how they'll do like, here's the list of episodes you've got to watch to get this character's story, but it's like you can't even just do that for one show.
Right.
It's like if you're interested in the Mandalorian's, live action series, also watch this handful of Clone Wars episodes and maybe a couple of Rebels episodes, and it's like these interweaving, like what do you call that? I don't know. I feel like there's a name for that where it's like you can follow any of these threads in all these different kind of directions, like different patterns, and all together they form the entire Star Wars franchise, but you can like follow different bits of it in all different directions.
All the threads are knit together into a Star Wars Christmas sweater.
Yes. Yes. There you go. Happy Life Day, everybody. Hello there. Welcome back to Star Wars Total Rewatch, where we are totally rewatching all of Star Wars from beginning to end. Never
And
ends.
to the never-ending Star Wars shows.
Yes. We're watching The Clone Wars, Season 5, Episode 16, Shades of Reason. I'm Aaron.
I'm Daniel. We're live again. Live from a different place than last time we were live,
Oh yeah.
but live nonetheless.
Yes. So, this is the Darth Maul arc from season 5, where he is taken over everything. Last episode, he took over all the crime organizations in the galaxy, and this week he's taken over Mandalore. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, in this episode they attack Mandalore like they were planning to. They overthrow the Duchess, and Pre Vizsla is setting himself up as the leader. The betrayal, the inevitable betrayal comes, and
Then the other inevitable betrayal comes from the other direction.
So then we get a epic duel between Maul and Vizsla, which ending with Maul victorious, taking up the Darksaber. That's pretty crazy.
It is crazy. He's disrupting everything you expect to happen in this show.
A real wild card in this whole story. They do the old trick where all of the crime syndicate and Maul and Savage just attack Mandalore, and then the Death Watch show up to save them, which seems very
It
obvious.
feels very staged. I don't know. Maybe it's just because they had to do it quickly in the episode, but there's this whole crowd watching all this stuff, and I think like they've got to know this is all. I don't know. They seem to be going along with it. They
They're
seem to be
very
like,
easily
"Oh
swayed,
yeah, you're that's great. Go ahead and rule us now. We're all on board with
the character of the crowd
that."
who easily, very easily swayed by anything that is said to them, anything that they see. I'm imagining this played out over a lot longer of a time than we are shown. It feels like it all happened in like an hour.
Right, yeah. If it happens a little at a time, people could gradually get used to the idea of, oh, maybe Death Watch isn't what we thought they were. They're really helping us against external threats.
Of course, the people don't know what's really going on, but I think it is true that if there is some immediate danger and you find some way to save yourself from that danger, you are all on board with whatever that happens to be.
All right, So you got a choice between two maybe not very desired things. Anyway, yeah.
This was all happening before Revenge of the Sith. You can believe that.
Yeah, that's right.
And they all thought that Palpatine was the greatest threat, you know? They had no idea.
No.
He probably was, but
He was. Well, see, but I think Maul is like in the, he's got his big plans, but I think in the back of his mind, he's like, man, if I could really do something big, that would be like my real end game is to overthrow Palpatine and just sort of rule everybody.
I wonder what he does think about that, if that is a eventual goal. He probably knows what he's actually up against, right? Because he was
Oh, yeah.
under an apprentice of Palpatine at one time. So, yeah, I wonder if that is what he's thinking. I hadn't considered that.
knows what he's dealing with more than Pre Vizsla doesn't know who he's dealing with.
No, here. Right.
I think he really thinks he's gonna take him down without too much trouble.
Well, I mean, it's like a small fish in a big pond, right?
A big fish in a small pond.
Is that what it is?
Because oh, you're the biggest fish yes, in the right. Yes.
Sure. He will soon discover he's a small fish in a
big pond. There's always a bigger fish.
There's always a bigger pond. but yeah, yeah. I think Vizsla is content to just rule over Mandalore. That's all he wanted. Mm-hmm. But Maul is looking way beyond that. So. Mm-hmm.
And just as long as we're probably not going to be talking about Pre Vizsla anymore after this episode, I wanted to mention that watching some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, they're talking about doing Pre Viz. That's almost like for sure what these
names. That's where the name came from. Oh boy.
They didn't say that, but no, don't you think it's got to be?
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that either. But
I think that's how Star Wars names happen.
Right. It's true. Pretty silly, but we love it.
Yep.
Fun to see the Duchess Satine again. She doesn't have a huge part in this. It's a lot more of just like the political side of it, where I feel like we got more of her as a person in the previous ones with Obi-Wan and stuff. But yeah, she's holding to her ideals.
Well, we will see what happens to them in the next episode.
Then we see this other character, Almec.
Yeah. I'm going to have to... Maybe,
Prime Minister.
Yeah, maybe you remember, but when did we see him? This is another one of those threads that I forget some of the past details of it, but he was arrested in a previous episode.
Okay, So
go for it.
There's been several political rulers betraying Satine. The first time we saw Mandalore, it was Pre Vizsla, the governor.
Yeah, I forgot he was like legitimately in power at one point. Yeah.
Then there was this other senator that was on the Voyage of Temptation episode.
That was Tal Merrick.
Then it was Prime Minister Almec who those kids found out about.
Yeah, Ahsoka's class.
Yeah.
Was
he was doing like black market trades.
And he's just been sitting there ever since, I guess.
It was conflicts of ideals. Shades of reason, maybe.
You might say that, yeah.
Anyway, it was interesting to see him again. Just it's a character that kind of disappears, you know, as a villain. It's like usually you assume, oh, he was overthrown, he's out of the picture now. Mm-hmm. But it's like, oh, he's back in the picture. Mm-hmm. And he's not remorseful for what he was doing. He felt like he was doing what he had to do. And he restates his belief. I'll put some of that quote in. I just like their conversation.
What you did for the people as Prime Minister betrayed their trust.
And you betrayed mine. Destitution leaves little room for faith. My actions allowed the people hope in your leadership. The supplies I bought on the black market kept you in power.
Another era of judgment. The people made willing sacrifices for their freedom. Corruption is not the answer.
Then enjoy your freedom, Duchess. You'll have plenty of time to tell me all about it.
I think he does have his own political ideas, but he also is pretty okay with working for Darth Maul if it gets him back in power. Although, does he feel like he's able to do some good there, maybe?
You wonder, yeah.
Maybe he's telling himself that.
I don't know if he has much of a choice either.
Yeah.
But it's very true that something is only illegal if you decide to make it illegal. So,
Or if you make it legal, yes, you can do that as well. As long as you are the one making the laws.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like that Vizsla just puts Maul and Savage in the same cell together because there's no way that can go wrong.
I think he really doesn't know who he's dealing with here.
I know, after everything that he's seen them do, too. And he's like totally underestimating them.
Yeah.
It's pretty silly.
But I like the way that Maul is talking. He's in a prison cell, which seems pretty unbreakable, and he's just the whole time talking about, okay, so here's our next step of the plan is going to be this, and then we're going to do that.
Yeah.
And
not thinking they're captured in any way.
Right. Yeah. Someone other than Savage might say, how are you planning to get out of here? But easy. You just force whatever that is that Savage does.
Yeah, Savage does like a force shockwave to break out of the cell. Pretty fun.
Yeah, and I like the way Maul just says, well, I'd like a tour of this facility.
Well,
happy to oblige.
And, yes. And he talks to Satine a little bit here, too. I just think what makes Maul a scary villain is, like, he's very calm and collected and clearly thinking.
Yes.
And that's fun.
Yeah, and he says to Savage at one point, getting ahead of things, and he says, oh, patience, we'll take care of that part in time, you know. Mm-hmm. You're right, because he's not getting carried away with himself. He's very much thinking it all through, making his plans.
And very confident that he'll come out on top.
Oh, and again, here he comes in like he's very riled up, and he says, I challenge you, one warrior, sure, to another. Like, he's just putting on a big show. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows that if he challenges him to a duel, he'll accept it. And if he beats him in a duel, the other people will be bound by honor to follow him. Somebody tells him that, and he says, yes, exactly. That's the whole plan.
And he has to make it public for it to work.
Right. The rest of the team has to see what happens.
Yeah.
But this is such a great fight scene.
Yeah, we get like a 5-minute fight.
Yeah, I had to go back. When I watched this before, I had to go back and watch that part again. It's great. Very exciting. Lightsaber versus darksaber. That's fun.
Light and dark.
Yeah, right. Well, they're both sort of different shades of reason. No, shades of dark, you could say. But it's great, though. And pretty violent, especially at the end when they're, like, you know, elbowing each other in the face and stuff like punches. That. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's very...
This is not something you... I don't know. I feel like if this was in a movie, this would be, like, PG-13 fight here.
And then they hide the killing blow. But, Maul picks up the darksaber and...
And you can see his people are watching. Well, especially Bo-Katan, they show her, but gradually starting to get a little concerned. I think at the beginning, everybody else also seems to think, oh, yeah, he's got this. This will be fine. And
maybe.
His jetpack gets destroyed, and you see their eyes getting a little wide, like, is this going to go well?
Yeah, maybe he doesn't have... No. There's a part where Vizsla is kind of crawling on the ground, and one of the other Death Watch guys is just looking down at him. I mean, he's not going to step in and help.
No, well, like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like they feel a lot of loyalty to him personally, do they?
Is it just
the movement, or it's the honor of whatever they think this thing is about?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think this has happened before, because it seems like Vizsla has always been in charge, unless there was somebody else previously that he usurped, you know?
Yeah,
but that's just kind of the trial that anyone is allowed, I think.
Yeah, and if someone else is victorious, it's you have the right to win. I feel like Maul has kind of an unfair advantage.
Being a Force user?
A Sith Lord.
Maybe.
And not a Mandalorian, crucially. Bo-Katan and some of the other members have an issue with that. They don't have any moral problem with what their group is doing, but they're all Mandalorians, and they're, you know, nobody outside of that planet should be in charge.
That's probably the one point that is a fair question. But also, Bo-Katan did have some loyalty to Vizsla, clearly.
Mm.
And so she runs away with several other followers of her own. And that's what we see that group, I would imagine, in the Mandalorian series.
Do you notice Darth Maul didn't even need his lightsaber to win the fight?
Not in the end.
No, he got his lightsaber knocked out of his hand, and he still just grabbed Vizsla's arm, and knocked the darksaber out, and then kicked him and whatever, and picked up the darksaber to kill him with. But there was an episode where Anakin didn't have his lightsaber, and I felt like he was still doing okay, but I felt like you should be able to win your fights without one.
Yeah.
Like, that's not... And that's what Maul does here, so I appreciated that. It's not just about the weapon you're using. You've got other things on your side.
But there's quite a few Death Watch troops that Maul is now in control of.
Right.
As well as being the ruler of Mandalore.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, the whole planet. Yeah, and there's more to Death Watch than just who's in this room here.
Yeah.
So he's in charge of Death Watch, which is in charge of Mandalore, and so he's running all that.
Okay. Very good. The moral of this episode is alliances can stall true intentions.
Okay.
I don't know what that
means. I'm not going to try and pick that one apart. Can stall true intentions?
I don't know.
Okay.
And the next episode is called The Lawless.
Which will wrap up this arc of episodes.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So we'll see you there, back on Mandalore.
Bye.
It's all right.